All right, bro. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We can just we'll start over. Welcome everybody. Violence. This is Lee along with Jason, and we had some news.
Yes. CM Punk foot surgery. It was Thursday, the same day Cody got surgery. Worse than initially thought. His camp's keeping it pretty close to vest on what's going on. So is AEW. But what I'm hearing is might be towards the end of the year before we see Punk back in action again.
All right, that's a bummer. Definitely on that.
Yeah. Jake Atlas. Do you remember Jake Atlas?
Jake Atlas. I don't.
He was in NXT and then came to AEW. He fought. His first match was with Adam Cole. It was supposed to be a big signing. He tore his ACL in his first match. Well, anyway,
I remember him.
Yeah. Well, he was arrested a while back on a DV charge. Being told he's not going to be back in AEW, was told it was a per appearance type deal. And then after him getting arrested, they kind of cut ties and said thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, no bueno. So we're not going to hear from him anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. We'll see where he goes from there. Last news before we get to Jeff Hardy. The Lucha Brothers and Andrade originally were going to be booked for Forbidden Door. No longer being booked for Forbidden Door. They will not be on the pay-per-view.
Is there any explanation as to why? Is it have to do with the... I don't know.
Working on finding that out. Haven't heard yet why, but there'll be more coming out about this. I just can't say what yet. So I want to make sure I'm clear on what is exactly the reason why before. I'll probably have more next week
when okay. we
report. Definitely. Now to the big news. Jeff Hardy. First off, I want to say much love to Jeff Hardy. I hope he gets the help that he really, truly needs.
Yes.
Someone who has fought the same demons he has, it's a tough battle. But I'm also disappointed. When you're Jeff Hardy, and I'm going to read what happened. I got some a lot of notes on what happened. A lot of good things on what happened. But when you're Jeff Hardy, man, somebody could have got hurt or got killed because he was really, really bad off. Man. You can't tell me you can't find an Uber or a ride or whatever. The IWC is a hateful place. I hate it. And people are blaming Matt Hardy and blaming Tony Khan and making this an AEW, WWE. This is not an AEW, WWE thing. This is not a wrestling thing. This is a person. This is a human being. This is a husband and a father. And people are making this out to be, oh, if he was in WWE, this wouldn't happen. Or if he was... No. The guy has issues. And I'm going to say props to what Tony Khan did. I'll announce that here in a minute. But first, here's kind of the timeline of what happened. And this is per Fightful. And this is per an email that I received from them. And Fightful does a great job. Sean Rossap is amazing. So here's what's going on. We were told that following the signing and a concert that Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy attended Sunday, Matt made sure his brother got to his hotel room. After that, Matt and his family flew back home while Jeff remained in Florida. Now, Jeff was apparently really intoxicated and had told doctors when he was pulled over that he was scheduled for a doctor's appointment for his head for brain scans. Now, they didn't get a comment back from AEW on this, but he was arrested at 9:54 a.m. and was booked in jail at 12:54 a.m. Now, there's also video of this out, which is just horrible, and I hate that this shit gets out. But
yeah.
He was driving under the speed limit. It took cops to draw their guns, and one actually had to reach in and help Jeff put the car in park. He told them that he had had three or four double shots of Fireball, and that he was, like I said, going to be going for a brain scan. And when he finally got out of the car after the cop helped him and the other three cops had their guns drawn, which is pretty scary if you think about it, he voluntarily gave himself up and was booked and took to jail. Now, some people came out and was like, what's going on? Why is AEW not commenting? What's going on? Tony Khan, hold on, I'm trying to pull up the statement from Tony Khan. Tony Khan released a statement, and I want to say that Tony Khan has done a great job with this. I know some people say I'm a mark for Tony Khan and AEW, but his statement is, where's it at? Hold on. I gotta find it. Why can I not find it? Here's the comment from Tony Khan, and this was released 2 hours ago. We were able to resume contact with Jeff Hardy this afternoon. AEW does not condone Jeff's alleged behavior. We made it clear to Jeff that we'll assist him in getting treatment for substance abuse issues, which he has indicated that he's open to receiving. In the interim, he is suspended without pay, and he can only return to AEW upon successfully completing treatment and maintaining his sobriety. If you or a loved one needs help, please reach out to SAMHSA's National Helpline, 1-800-662-HELP.
Yeah, that's an excellent way for him to deal with that, I think.
I'm glad he didn't get fired. I mean, you don't want anybody to lose their job, but you want Jeff Hardy to get the help he needs. This is his third DUI in 10 years, so I don't know if there's a third strike, you're out kind of deal. He was also, part of the arrest was supposedly his license was suspended, but he had somehow a license that was good, so he could rent cars. So I don't know what's going on. This could be a messy legal situation. I don't know. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I feel bad for Jeff in this whole thing. I really want to see him get the help. Like you said, he's been battling this for quite some time, and his other DUIs, I think, were in South Carolina, weren't they?
North Carolina, I believe. And that's...
North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina. That's right.
So where do you stand on? Do you blame AEW? Do you think it's for him taking the hard hits from the Darby match and the Young Bucks match and things like that? Or do you just think this is where somebody that has problems got drunk and decided to get behind a wheel?
It's hard to say what triggered it off, but bottom line is that he was drunk and got behind the wheel, and like you said, thank God he didn't hurt anybody or get himself or somebody else killed. That's a major thing. I think they're doing the right thing, saying, yeah, he's got to get help, or, you know, he can't be welcome back to wrestle if he doesn't get the help he needs.
Are you good with a suspension, or did you want to see him get fired?
No, I don't want to see him get fired over it. Not at all.
I'm the same. All right, I'm glad we agree on that one.
Yeah, because I don't want to see him lose his job to it. Then again, I don't want to see him lose his life either.
Right, and it's not about an AEW WWE thing, because I like both companies. I don't care who wrestles where. I just want the guy to be able to live a healthy life for his daughters, for his wife, and this could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Yeah, and like you said, the people, fuck the people who are bringing up WWE and AEW as being, I've read a lot of the comments on it. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters who he was with or...
Well, here's one of the big
arguments. Like that.
One of the big arguments that people are in having, and if you want to have a debate about it, okay, we don't know because we're not Jeff Hardy, but some people are like, well, if he was in WWE, they'd be touring and he would not be able to do this, which, yes, he would. Other people are saying, oh, well, with AEW's lax schedule, they only, you know, wrestle once a week, you know, he's free to do whatever he wants for 6 days. He shouldn't be able to do that. He's a grown-ass man, so he knows what's going to happen. Either way, life on the road or life not on the road, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. If he's going to get fucked up, he's going to find a way to do it on the road or not on the road. I mean, it's going to happen, like you said.
It's a disease of people trying to make this out to be an AEW versus WWE thing is stupid. And people are like, well, why did it take so long for Tony Khan to reach out? Tony Khan wanted to wait until he talked to Jeff Hardy. Like, instead of just a knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, you're fired, he talked to Jeff. He talked to Jeff. He told him what, you know, told him he was disappointed, told him this and that, and, you know, forget about the fans, forget about tomorrow night's ladder match, forget about that. Just take care of Jeff. And when I think it'll be a great success story when Jeff Hardy comes back, and I am rooting and pulling for Jeff Hardy. And that's all I got to say on that.
Yeah, me too. I just, like you said, I hope he gets the help he needs, and that he's able to follow through and come back. And, you know, I see it as a good thing. It'll be time for him to get his health back in order, get everything straightened out, and come back better than ever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree.
Yeah, it's happened before, and, you know, I'm still pulling for him. I mean, people mess up. You mess up every once in a while, and you learn from it and just move on.
I agree. We're not robots. We're going to make mistakes, so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, thanks for all the news input on that.
There's more coming. Like, I kind of told you some of the stuff, but I'm waiting to get full 100% clarity before I announce a lot of this stuff. But I just want to say there's some good things coming for AEW, and for that, we're all better off.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I can't wait to hear from about that. Should we get into this week's Dynamite?
Unfortunately, because
I'm not too excited about it either.
Me neither. I got a lot to go off about on this episode.
Yeah, well, feel free.
God, I cannot wait. I've been waiting since it aired for us to be able to record. It's not only one of my highlights of the week just to get to talk to you because you become a really good friend, but this show, oh my God, we'll get into it, but fuck me.
Yeah, you can even tell just by my notes, I didn't have very many notes. Usually I'm writing down, you know, high spots, you know, that happened during matches and everything. It lost steam from the get-go for me, like starting with the Casino Battle Royal.
Oh my God, I'm going to let you describe what you're going to describe, and then I'm going to go off on the Casino Battle Royal because we have not got to do an episode with the Casino Battle Royal, but I fucking hate it.
Yeah, well, all I did basically is I just kept track of what names came out when. Like the first group that we had Darby Allin, Tony Nese, Eddie Kingston, Lance Archer, and Daniel Garcia. So started off good enough. Can I
stop you real quick?
Yeah.
You have Eddie Kingston, Daniel Garcia, and I forget who the other one was in the ring before Dynamite even came on the air. I mean, Eddie Kingston is a fan favorite. He's going to get a pop. Why does he not get an entrance into this match?
I don't know why they did on that suit. It just kind of like introduction and straight to the ring. It was really weird.
I hate how they even do the entrances to this whole thing. I'll bitch about it here in a minute, but you cue Dynamite, they do the pyro, you know, it's Wednesday, you know what that means, blah, blah, blah. And then you look in the ring and I see Kingston and Garcia and I'm like, did I miss something already? Like, what?
Yeah. Especially with Kingston in there. I mean, it's Kingston, Darby Allin, Lance Archer's in there, which we haven't seen a lot of him. Introductions should have been made.
And then this shit sucked, whatever. The match just starts. Darby runs out of the ring, grabs a skateboard, and starts hitting people with it. What the hell was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
So is this not a, is there no rules? If there's no rules, say that. But what? Why doesn't everybody just walk out with a weapon? Like, I hated it.
Wouldn't it that have made it a bunkhouse battle royal? You know, the fact that it says it's a casino battle royal mean anything? I don't know.
And here, I'll bitch about this just to begin with. Why did we even need a battle royal for this? Why did we jumpstart to this right? I mean, I know Punk's injured and you want to get a pay-per-view or a main event for the pay-per-view, but you don't have Danielson there. You don't have Cole there. You don't have other people there. Why did we need a battle royal? And I'm going to complain about this more during the Wardlow segment, so I'll kind of hold off back, but
That's even more disappointment.
Well, AEW rankings. You're going to tell me that this is going to be a real type of a product, and this is going to be a sports-based product. Well, after the pay-per-view, Wardlow was the number one contender. Punk gets hurt. You make Moxley the number one contender. Why? And then you want to say, well, he's won more single matches than anybody. But then why wasn't Moxley the number one contender after the pay-per-view? You can't just switch it. It makes it look stupid. And just so people are already given a hard time about the rankings, because people can go to Dark and Elevation and get like 10 wins in a row, and all of a sudden they're in the top 10. But you had Wardlow as the number one contender. And then, all of a sudden you switch it, and nothing happened besides the fact that Punk got hurt. That was it.
Which, you bring up a good point. Do you think that Dark and Elevation, this is kind of how I feel. I feel that the wins shouldn't amount to as much as they are amounting to.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Ruby Soho came in. She came in as a joker at one of the Battle Royals, and then, like, she main evented against Britt Baker at Arthur Ashe Stadium. And then you didn't see her for like months, and then she shows up on Dynamite, and the graphic shows like Ruby Soho on a 15 win streak. What? I know why they do Dark and Elevation. They're trying to get content for a streaming service. I get it. But only like 6,000 people watch that show. You know what I'm saying? Like, not many people watch it. I can't watch wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Nobody can. You might be able to catch some highlights, but no, it's kind of a slap in the face, I think.
I actually, at the beginning of very first starting the show, I actually used to cover Dark and Dark Elevation, but it was way too much wrestling to watch.
Yes.
And secondly, it was, I mean, you're watching a lot of jobber matches, and it's not even worth it.
You know? Right. Right.
Every once in a while, they'll have a main event on there that'll be the only match that's worthwhile watching.
I'll catch highlights here and there when I can or whatever, but it's kind of a slap in the face to the fans, because, like, not everybody's going to watch Dark and Elevation. I'm sorry. It's just, they're not. Now,
and for a while there, they were using it kind of as a storytelling tool, but all you really needed was the little clip from Dark to be shown one time.
Well, that's the thing. They don't even show highlights from it. They just show a graphic at the bottom who beat who. I mean,
yeah.
And not everybody, it's kind of like pitcher and pitcher. Not everybody's going to pay attention to that bottom corner to see, oh, did my favorite wrestle on Dark or Elevation this week? It's kind of a joke, but
nobody's watching for that.
And I'll complain more about Wardlow when we get to what Wardlow said, because they're already messing him up.
Yeah, definitely. I was not happy with that. But then we had the second suit come out. Still no eliminations. We had Absolute Ricky Starks, Jake Hager, Ray Phoenix, Swerve Strickland, and Keith Lee. If it's supposed to be so random, I don't see why Swerve and Keith came out at the same time. Just a little thing. Then we had the third suit was John Silver, Konosuke Takeshita. Sorry, still getting used to saying his name.
Takeshita.
There we go. Platinum Max Caster, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn. The guns coming out together. And then we had the fourth suit, which was Powerhouse Hobbs, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Dante Martin, and Wheeler Yuta. And the Joker for this was Andrade El Idolo, which I don't even think we needed a Joker.
No, but they have to.
They threw one in there because it's tradition for this match, so why not? And it was really not that exciting of a Battle Royal either.
No, I mean, Swerve looked good. I guess they're teasing a breakup between him and Keith Lee, but, like, there was so much going on in this match. It was so hard to watch. I know they want to do a Battle Royal to try to Battle Royal Rumble, and I get that, but it was just... instead of that 35 minutes, we could have had something else. You could have had a women's match. You could have had something else. I really don't think we needed a battle royal to determine who was going to face who at Forbidden Door. And they confused everybody on the whole bracket, everything they did. It was just... I'm happy for Kyle O'Reilly for getting a big win on Dynamite, but was O'Reilly really the best bet there? I would have had, if I was going to book this thing, you're going to have this, I would have had Wheeler Yuta win. So we had Blackpool Combat Club in the main event. Blah, blah, blah.
That's what I thought it was going to end up being, was Wheeler Yuta when they came to the last four, because you had Yuta, Andrade, Phoenix, and O'Reilly in there. Then Phoenix gets eliminated by Andrade. Then Andrade eliminates both Yuta. Well, no, he was eliminated by both Yuta and O'Reilly at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It was a real quick finish where O'Reilly eliminated Yuta for the win. Not too much to... Yeah, I don't have too much to say about this Battle Royal, really. Nothing really stuck out in my mind. Terrific.
And the one thing I love about Dynamite is they always start out with like a banger right at the beginning. Like a great match to start off things, to kind of kick things going. And this just kind of... Like when Max Caster came out, everybody kind of had to stop so he can rap while he walks through the ring. And the way they introduce everybody, instead of one at a time, like every 2 minutes, like the Royal Rumble does, like they kind of introduce them all at once. So like people are fighting and Justin Roberts is announcing people, and like it's just, it's so confusing. I don't know.
It was confusing when they first went from the first Casino Battle Royal. That was confusing. Nobody knew what was going on then either. And you think that after all this time, they would have had it down pat by now on what's going on. But
My whole thing is, did we need this? Did we really, really need this? No.
I think what we needed was maybe a miniature tournament happening.
But then, here's the thing, though. We keep doing so many tournaments in AEW. We're going to talk about it later, because there's also another tournament happening. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, you have rankings for a reason. If Wardlow was your number one ranked guy, he needed to be the one who fought Tanahashi at Forbidden Door. That's my thought. That's my thought. We'll talk about it more when we get to the Wardlow segment, but I don't know. Just bad. I'm so glad we're done talking about it, because this was just horrible.
Yeah, it was. So after that, we had a backstage promo with Jon Moxley, just basically about him advancing to Forbidden Door. Nothing too special in that.
Nope.
Then we have an announcement and a video package on the All Atlantic Championship. Just my opinion, but I'm starting to feel like there's too many championships happening right now.
I disagree with you on that. I actually like this. You got to think about it. I've been watching wrestling forever. I'm 40. I was watching when I was a younger kid. Think about to the Attitude Era when Raw was big. You had the heavyweight title, the intercontinental title, the European title, the hardcore title, tag team titles. Title belt's just a prop, and that's fine. The only problem now with AEW is you got the world title, you got the tag team title, now you're going to have the Atlantic title, you got the TNT title, you got the TBS title, and you're defending the ROH titles on your show. Now, if we could keep the ROH titles to ROH, then I don't think it's that bad of a deal, but I'm all for this. I thought it was great. I loved how Tony Schiavone did the voiceover, and he was like, from the brilliant mind of Tony Khan comes the All-Atlantic Championship. And it's really weird because it's not really All-Atlantic. I don't know if Tony Khan thought this through, but like, you know, you got Japan wrestlers and other wrestlers. It's not really by the Atlantic, but I think it's cool. The belt looks beautiful.
The belt looks excellent. I think they just come out with such good-looking belts every time.
The AEW World title is my favorite. I think it looks amazing. I'm all for this. I think we're going to get a Pac or a Malakai Black or even a Miro title run here. So I'm kind of cool with it. It's just the only problem, kind of with what you're saying, because you do have a point. You only have 3 hours of TV that people watch. How many times are you going to have a title defended? And every time you say a title is going to be defended, does it lose its luster because we've already seen like two? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and plus it have the Trios championships in there. I'm thinking of that too. Is it too much? I don't know.
And I think it's kind of what I talked to you about this weekend a little bit. I think we're going to see more TV time for AEW. It's not really announced yet, but I think we're going to get more content. So once you get more content, I think this is just kind of a prelude for what's going to be the future for AEW. So I'm not mad at it right now.
That extra TV time into Rampage, as long as they put that into Rampage and the quality of Rampage goes up, I'm happy with it.
Well, I'd like this week's Rampage. I thought Rampage was better than Dynamite.
I actually didn't watch it.
I thought it was better. I watched it for Will Ospreay, but I thought it was better. And you missed Satnam Singh. He was so good.
Yeah, I did. I did watch that because I watched him wrestle. So I did watch Rampage. I just didn't on it.
Yeah, he was good. He was very good. But
he was better than Kali. That's for sure.
He's better than Omos on WWE.
He still looks kind of like kind of clunky to me. I don't know,
I think when you're that tall, no matter what you do, you're going to look a little clunky, but I thought he looked really good.
Just awkward, awkward to me, but he was definitely pulling off some moves that took some athleticism, and you can tell he's gotten some good training.
And they did it smart. They did it in short segments, and they got him with Jay Lethal. I think it's going to work out, but we're kind of going off script. But I think it's going to be, going to be just fine.
Yeah, he's turning out better than what I thought.
Yes, sir.
So he's not totally. I'm not totally down on him at all. But then we had the first match for the tournament for the All Atlantic Championship, and it's Buddy Matthews versus the Bastard Pack. Great, great matchup.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah, I have nothing but good to say about it.
This humped.
They're so evenly matched too, and even their build. I mean,
yes,
it's just so even on both sides. I couldn't decide who shined better in this match because it seemed like they were just constantly outdoing each other during the whole match, which that made move, it
that backwards hurricanrana. Holy shit!
Yeah, the poison rana.
Oh my god! I thought they both broke their neck.
Yeah, he did the poison rana, then a running kick, and then went for the black arrow on top of it.
Well, that's one thing I'll say about Tony Khan. People have been asking for this match since Buddy signed. I wish I'd give him a better name. I mean, I hate calling some guy Buddy. But
Buddy, yeah.
They're so built, and they're so jacked. And just what a imagine. Pac is so great. If we can get his visa issues settled, people forget Pac was like one of the first couple AEW shows beat Kenny Omega.
Yeah, he was definitely, I mean, one of their stars from the very beginning.
I think he wins this whole tournament.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah,
I think he deserves it.
Yeah, this was 5-star. I would give this 5-star. This was amazing. I was very happy with this. This was great.
Yeah, this was a great match.
Yep, yes, sir. Highlight of the night.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was probably. Yeah. Match that took place all evening. Next, we had Eddie Kingston. He cuts a promo on Jake Hager, who eliminated him in the Casino Battle Royal, and he challenged him to a match on Rampage.
God, you just pissed me off even more. Not your fault, but I so forgot that Hager was the one who eliminated Eddie Kingston.
Fuck. Yeah.
Eddie King. Oh my god, I wanted Kingston to win this because I wanted a Kingston Moxley match. And then I wanted Kingston to go on to be the one who wins the belt. And then a Kingston Punk match. If I wasn't going to get Danielson versus Punk, I want Kingston versus Punk part two. I just really think one of the things, and this is with when you have such a bloated roster, Eddie Kingston was, because when he did that Players Tribune article and he was so hot, and every time he comes out, he gets one of the biggest pops. Why are we not pushing this guy? And we give the win to Kyle O'Reilly, which I love Kyle O'Reilly. I have Kyle O'Reilly shirts. I buy his merch. I love Kyle O'Reilly. But I wanted Kingston, and I just thought we missed something with this whole thing.
I know. I looked at the entire Battle Royal and saw who was in it. Kingston's definitely was one of my favorites in it. Pretty much, I mean, Kingston, Garcia, I would have liked to see last a lot longer in it.
Yeah. The only good thing that happened out of the Battle Royal was Swerve. Swerve looked really good because he eliminated Darby, eliminated Keith Lee.
Yeah, he got a lot of eliminations in it.
Yeah. I'm a Swerve fan, but it just, as we talked about earlier, the Battle Royal just lost me because they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and it was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. They need to figure something out. Like I said, you think by the third year they would have figured out a way to make it.
Hey, my friend, I am getting breaking news right now. Tony Khan has just announced Dax Hardwood versus Will Ospreay on Dynamite. Holy shit.
That would be a good match. That would be an excellent match.
Are you familiar with Will Ospreay?
Somewhat. I've seen him wrestle maybe a handful of times. Yeah. Because I haven't, like I said, I haven't watched a lot of NJPW. I am familiar with a couple of his matches previously to it, is what I watched of Will Ospreay when he was wasn't he in England for quite some time?
He's been a lot overseas. He's one of Meltzer's favorite. So, like, kind of after Kenny left to go to AEW, Ospreay became his new favorite.
Right.
But the matches this guy does. Him and Moxley had a match not too long ago on New Japan. That was just, he did this move where he was on the top turnbuckle and Moxley was out in the crowd behind the barrier, like the metal barrier. He jumped all the way over that and did a move on Moxley. And it was one of the most amazing things I ever seen. And Dax Harwood is having one of the greatest years for a professional wrestler. This match is going to hump. And I'm very excited. This has made my night right there. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup. Definitely. It makes me more excited to watch Dynamite this week.
Well, it's going to be a banger because they're making it up to St. Louis because they took away Full Gear and they gave it to Minneapolis last year. So we already got the hair versus hair. We're going to have this. They're going to make it a great card. So, wow. I expect more big matches to be announced.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to have to pay more attention to my alerts that come out.
You know I'll be blowing you up anyway.
Yeah. You always... in the loop, that's for sure. But next we have Trent Beretta in the ring. He's on the mic talking about how Roppongi Vice wants another shot at the ROH tag titles against FTR. FTR comes out and gets interrupted by Will Ospreay, and I guess his group's called United Empire.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Since you're not a big New Japan fan or follow, do you think AEW needs to do a better job of telling people who these people are?
That's right. I'm not really sure because it seems like from the crowd reactions,
the crowd
it seems
knows.
To me like they don't need to, you know.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the audience at home. Do you need more explanation to know who these people are?
I do, yeah. I would like a little bit more background on them. Like, here's this person's accomplishments, and here's what they did.
That's one of the criticisms I see a lot, because, like, I know all these people, and so I was hyped. I was like, oh, shit, Will Ospreay's on Dynamite. But other people are kind of like, who is this? And not that that's a detriment to Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay just fights overseas, so...
Yeah.
I know the base core of AEW fans know who they are, but to kind of grow the audience, I think they need to do a better job of introducing, like, just list the dude's accomplishments or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just something to give us a background that says, oh, okay, explains why he's here. That explains why he's such a big deal.
Kind of the thing with, like, Roppongi Vice. Did you know who Roppongi Vice was until they said who they were on Dynamite?
No, I didn't.
Exactly. See, I did. but I'm kind of in the minority. So I was like, oh, Roppongi Vice, cool. But you're probably like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, I didn't have any clue that they were, you know, a really accomplished tag team overseas.
Right. Well, because you as an AEW fan, you've seen him with the Best Friends. You haven't really seen him with Ricky Romero and what he's done and some of the matches he's put on overseas. So I just wanted to kind of get it from your perspective, because I've seen a lot of people, and I've kind of had some like debates with people online. And then I kind of started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe just because I know who they are. And I already bought the pay-per-view like a month ago, so, you know, they already had my money. But somebody like you who may be on the fence, just because they're on Dynamite and you're saying, hey, this is Roppongi Vice, doesn't going to mean that much to somebody like you or just a random casual fan.
Well, it's just like going all the way back to where they did the Labors of Jericho and announced Nick Gage. There was a lot of people I saw that I just happened to notice at that announcement that didn't know who Nick Gage was.
Nick Gage, MDK all fucking day. I have Nick Gage merchandise and all that stuff. I love Nick Gage. But I agree. People need to know who these people... That's one thing WWE does better than they do. They kind of give a backstory to who... Just a little like backstage segment or like a little vignette or something just to explain who these people are.
Yeah, something to get us a little bit more excited about who that is in the ring, and know that yes, they are, you know, a force for to be reckoned with or something along those lines.
I'll just say tomorrow night you're not going to be disappointed if Ospreay and Dax are given the time. That is going to be one. That might be a match of the year right there.
Yeah, from what I've seen, Ospreay, he's way talented. He does some amazing shit in the ring.
Yeah.
I remember being quite impressed with him. I just hadn't followed Japan.
Right.
But and it's not like I can't. I mean, it records on my DVR all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like the other week when you start saying, hey, you should check out New Japan. Check these guys out. I did, and I liked it. It's a little bit different. I want to say a different atmosphere.
Well, yeah, Japan has like a COVID thing where they can't like clap a whole. It's really weird.
Yeah, they don't really react the same way an American audience does. But I, in a way, I like it because they are more appreciative of the wrestling.
Yes, it's more wrestling than it is sports entertainment.
Yeah, definitely, it's for wrestling fans. That's for.
Yeah.
And if you're not a huge wrestling fan and you're into it just for the entertainment purposes, which I don't see why that would miss in any way.
I think, like you said, it's just the atmosphere. If you turn it into a New Japan show and watch it, you're going to be like, why are these people not making noise? And so
is this not an exciting match to them? Or
right.
Because I'm watching these guys do all this amazing shit. Getting like this little golf clap, and you're like, oh. Okay.
And the thing is, that's how they appreciate it, though. That's their it's a different culture. That's how they appreciate it. But we're used to people, you know, jumping up and down and screaming and being loud. And when they just clap like that, they really like it. So it's so different.
Yeah, it's something to get used to as far as that is. But wrestling, it's excellent. Wrestling.
If you like wrestling, you like wrestling. That's just kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Those guys are going to tear it up when they meet at the Forbidden Door. But the backstage, then we had... where did we leave off? With Trent Beretta being in the ring.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay coming out. The Empire just... cleared the ring and beat down Trent Beretta.
It was a little weird. It was a little weird because Trent was like challenging FTR for the titles, and then this crew comes out, and then I guess we're gonna have a six-way at the a trios match at the pay-per-view. But it was just like, okay, so now they're enemies, but now they're fighting together to take on a different enemy. I don't know. I thought
Yeah, I think
I think you could have introduced Ospreay a different way, but that's just me. But I get what they're doing. They're trying to build to the pay-per-view, but I just didn't like it.
Yeah, it kind of lost me too. I'm like, well, are they going against Trent? But a six-man tag definitely makes more sense now, looking back at it. I don't know. We'll see how it develops.
Right. Yes, sir.
But then we have stage. We have Adam Cole with Red Dragon. William Regal's alongside him, and William Regal says he gives his best wishes. And as he's got to be on commentary, and has to call him getting his head getting cracked open. And O'Reilly says he's in AEW to fight the best and go for the championships, and he gets to do both in this match. So pretty straightforward on that segment. Adam Cole's music then hits, and he joins the commentary team, and we have David Finlay versus Hangman Adam Page. This was a decent match. It wasn't too terribly exciting for me.
Really? Do you know who David Finlay's dad is, right?
Yeah, it's Fit Finlay.
Yeah. Oh, hey, one side note, Adam Cole's music is now being sent to high school bands across the country to learn to play like football games and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's doing better than the Undisputed theme then.
Oh, it's number one. It's like so many, the Hard Rock charts and other iTunes. It's a great song. But here's the thing. Okay, I love David Finlay. I know who David Finlay is. Again, you probably don't know, again, David Finlay's background. So then you're going to have...
Not even once.
Right, and I've seen him wrestle... I buy New Japan pay-per-views all the time. And then you're going to have him face against Hangman Page. First, Hangman just lost to Punk for the title. Why is he not in the Battle Royal for a chance to get the title? Okay, whatever. We knew who was going to win this match. I mean, it was kind of not climatic at all. Finlay got some offense. Page did what he did. Page won. I need more build-up. I just need... Why is Paige fighting Finlay? Why?
Yeah, they didn't even explain that he was really NJPW.
No,
I think
not at all.
I think all they did was show a quick video, or not even video, but their logo on
he's been in a tag team with Juice Robinson, I think I'm saying his name right, who just got married to Tony Storm, who is a lucky, lucky bastard. But congratulations to you two. But then they split up and he just joined Bullet Club. But anyway, David Finlay just was kind of thrown out there. I hope maybe they do more with David Finlay, or they maybe want to bring him on. But it wasn't even that great of a match. It was really, really quick.
Yeah, very quick. Paige at the end of it, it kind of got foreshadowed even more by Paige grabbing the mic and saying that he wants Okada at Forbidden Door.
I got news on this. Go ahead. Keep going.
So he wants the IWGP World Championship.
Yep.
And then Adam Cole got on the mic and promo on Paige. So
and they're...
I don't know. Is there a match that's going to happen between first?
Oh, my God. Or... Here's the thing. And I don't know if New Japan and AEW are not talking. But you remember Switchblade Jay White?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he just fought Okada at the last pay-per-view and won the world title. So, you have Hangman on your television show talking about how you lost the biggest match of your life, but that he'll talk about that at another time. But there's not only one world title in wrestling, there's another one, New Japan. I want Okada. Yeah. Well, then Cole comes out and was like, well, you might not get that match. And then they have a New Japan pay-per-view on Saturday or Sunday. Jay White wins, and here's the thing. If you haven't seen this yet, which I'm taking by your reaction, you have not. Jay White cuts one of the greatest promos. And it's not MJF. It's not CM Punk pipe bomb, but it is amazing. And he talks about how if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have AEW, which I thought was great. I hope they show this on Dynamite, because if not, why not? But he cuts this promo about how since he beat Kenny Omega the last time Kenny Omega was in New Japan Pro Wrestling, Kenny Omega wouldn't have ran with his friends and created AEW. And he's the one to thank for signing CM Punk. And he's the one to thank for this. And he's the one to thank for that. So now what we're probably looking at is a Jay White, Hangman Page, Adam Cole three-way for the New Japan World title. But why did you even have Page acknowledge Okada just to say his name when New Japan was going to run a pay-per-view 3 days later and switch the titles?
Yeah,
you're supposed to be working together. But the promo that Jay White cut, if you don't know Jay White's work, oh my God, first of all. But second, the promo he cut was just brilliant. But, so, I mean, I hope Jay White comes out this week on Dynamite. But you kind of just killed the old Okada thing, and now, like I said, I guess we're looking at White, Paige, Cole for the New Japan World title.
Right. And that, yeah, why did they even bring up Okada's name if none of them are facing him?
If you get a chance, though, look up New Japan Dominion pay-per-view, Jay White promo. Brilliant. You'll be like, oh, my God.
Okay. And it's Dominion? Because I look up everything you tell me to.
Yeah, if you can't find it, let me know. I'll send you the link.
All right.
Because the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson won a singles title. He was talking trash. Some other guys. So it was really cool. And it's only like 3 minutes long.
I think I might have caught the taste of that on something on YouTube or something. Yeah. Because I remember the Good Brothers were on there, and I didn't know that they were back in New Japan.
Yeah, they left Impact. They're no longer with Impact. And Carl Anderson won a singles title. I forget which one, so I'm sorry about that. But he won one at the pay-per-view. There was a pay-per-view this past Saturday.
Carl Anderson was the one talking.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying too much to it, obviously.
Before Carl talks is when Jay White does his promo, and it's amazing.
Okay. I'll check it out, definitely. Then after we go through that segment, we have a segment with Thunder Rosa. She's backstage with Tony Schiavone, and issues an open challenge. In walks in Marina Shafir. Rosa asks if she has a problem. Shafir says, yeah, she'd like to be Rosa's problem and see if Thunder can solve her. It was a really bad segment.
Bad match.
Bad segment, bad match. Shafir is a dope promo. Yeah. The only time I've seen Shafir perform well was back at GCW Sport 8.
Do you know who her husband is?
Refresh my memory.
It's Roderick Strong.
So yeah. Okay.
Her husband, how are you not better?
I don't know.
They're trying to kiss up the Thunder Rosa. They're trying to get her more title defenses and things like that after I reported last week how she's unhappy with AEW. But this was just, even JR said during the match, this is a clash of styles. Whenever you hear somebody say clash of styles, they're saying this is a bad match.
Yeah, they're saying it sucks, basically.
And
it
pisses me off because their women's division could be so good.
Well, this is the second, I think, Shafir's been on Dynamite, and for the second time, I'm very disappointed.
Well,
she was actually really good at the Bloodsport pay-per-view. But that was months ago.
Well, she fought Jade on Rampage or Dynamite or something, and it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad then, too.
I'm sure on Bloodsport she was badass because she's a badass chick. But that style doesn't go with Jade and doesn't go with Thunder Rosa and just...
No.
This is the only women's match we get. And you have Toni Storm and Britt Baker and all these other wrestlers and Ruby Soho and all these other... And this is what we get.
Exactly. I don't know who thought this was a great choice, but it definitely was not.
Well, and then the ending. Toni Storm comes out to help her, holds up the title. So are you going to have face versus face? Don't do this again, Toni. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing with the Women's World Championship, but he figure something out fast. And he doesn't need to go far to figure it out. We have female competitors that are head and shoulders, just a way far above Marina Shafir, just in ring wise. You could bring you can bring any of them up. I don't know. Bring up Statlander, like who we mentioned before. God.
She looks so good on Rampage.
Hell, even Red Velvet would look better at this point. I don't, you know.
I know you're a Statlander guy. Did you see Statlander and Velvet on Rampage?
Yes, I did.
Amazing.
That was a great match.
Yeah.
Great. And yeah, it only highlighted of how good she is and how versatile she is. And working with a smaller opponent like that and actually making that opponent look strong.
I look at Statlander and I could be like, she could beat Jade. She could beat Jade. I could see her beating Jade.
And I thought for the longest time, I was thinking that's where they were pointing her. It was in Jade's direction, but it keep sidetracking that with other.
Jade and Athena are having like this Twitter war, which is just really weird because.
Yeah.
Not everybody that watches your show follows Jade and Athena. So unless you're me who follows every wrestler and watches what all they're saying. They're trying to give, I guess, you know, like a storyline through social media, but Jade's killing her single-handedly on social media, and it makes Athena look bad.
Yeah, I even have Twitter and everything, but this is how closely I follow it. I didn't even know that they were at odds with each other on Twitter.
Oh, it's bad, and Jade's making her look stupid, which is just... It's so bad, but it's like, come on, like, I want more from the women's division.
And this is not a point to where we need Athena looking bad. I mean, she needs to look strong in some way.
If you're going to have them have a Twitter beef, at least tell each other what to say.
Sounds bad enough.
I mean, Jade is making her look bad, and it's just like, okay, now... Any thought that I have of Athena beating her is gone just because of the, I guess it'd kind of be like a rap battle. The disses that Jade are giving her are so bad. It's like, okay, done. Who's next?
Yeah.
It's so
That's
bad.
Pretty
it's so
terrible. Bad. Well, we had Tony Schiavone in the ring to interview Wardlow.
Oh, I get to go off.
Yeah, this is where you get to say your piece because Wardlow got on the mic and he says he asked not to take part in the Battle Royal for the because CM Punk's our champion and if he's not facing him, he doesn't want it yet. Says that the title he wants is the TNT title. Then Scorpio Sky comes out, acts like he's going to confront Wardlow. He walks down the ramp, only he gets stopped and held back by Ethan Page and Dan Lambert.
Oh my God. Okay, here's the thing. Oh, Wardlow was so over.
Yeah, he's red hot. I mean,
I would have been fine with him beating Punk for the title. I don't even care if it was like a... Here's the thing, though. He says, I asked not to be in the Royal Rumble because I don't want to fight Punk until he's healthy. That's the whole freaking part of the interim title, is to be the one that faces Punk when he's ready. So
exactly.
Then you have him sitting there talking, well, instead I want the TNT title.
Why didn't we go just straight to Wardlow versus Moxley?
So now you're saying I don't want to face Punk yet until, well, you would have faced Punk when he's healthy if you would have won the fucking title. But now you're saying, you know what? I don't want the world title. We're going to put that in the back burner. I want the TNT. Are you serious? So you want the secondary title first? Which I did, but like, you showed me on a graphic that he was the number one contender, the Dynamite after the pay-per-view. Then you make Moxley the number one contender because you want to switch because Punk's hurt. And then you have him out there talking to Tony saying, I don't want Punk until he's healthy, which is the whole part of having an inner title is to get the champion when he's healthy. And then you're going to go after a champion who's hurt.
So I'm wondering if before Punk got injured, he was thinking, I want to face Wardlow. I want to be the one to put him over.
Well, see, you already had a Punk-Wardlow match where Punk won after Wardlow powerbombed him because MJF cost him the match. Okay, cool. I can see a rematch. But don't have him come out. He's not the greatest on the mic yet anyway. He needs practice, which I get. But don't have him come out there and say, I don't want Punk yet until he's healthy. That's why I'm not in the Battle Royal. That's the whole point of the Battle Royal. It's to be the one who's ready to face Punk when he's ready. And then you're like, you know what? You guys go after the world title. I'm going to go after the TNT title. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't understand it. It didn't come out making a lot of sense.
It made your rankings look stupid. It made people that pay attention to your rankings look stupid. And then you're going to go have him go after a champion that's also injured. Oh my. And then next week, we get to see him fight 20 security guards. Oh. My head is about to explode over this. Like, it pisses me off so bad.
Right after that, Smart Mark Sterling, he says that Wardlow can either go to court or face 20 security guards in an elimination match. Now, number one, what is a 20-man elimination match? Is he going to have to pin him? Is he going to have to toss him over the top rope? Constitutes an elimination. I'm not clear on the rules on it, or even how it even supposed to work. And yeah, they just throw it out there like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm confused. If I was booking it, he wins the title at Forbidden Door. If Punk's really going to be out 6 months, you have him dominate for 6 months, and then at the next pay-per-view when Punk's healthy, you have a healthy Punk versus a dominant Wardlow. Oh my God, that's money! Take my money!
Yeah, that match pays for itself right there.
Oh, I hope something comes of this, and I'm sure down the line we're going to see Wardlow as the TNT champion, but. You're going to tell me you'd rather go after the secondary title before you would the world title? Get out of here, man.
Just because of who's holding it. I just shrug my shoulders and say, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to face Moxley and take that title from him.
It made the Battle Royal look weird because, like I said, you rushed the Battle Royal. You didn't have Wardlow in it. You didn't have Danielson in it. You didn't have Cole in it. You didn't have who? You had all these other people in it. Why? Let it breathe a couple weeks and then, like, I don't know, man. It just, I was really, and don't get me wrong, I'll watch a bad AEW before I watch anything else. And I love that song every week, but this just, I don't know. I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah. Big question mark on the whole thing for me. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. This Dynamite to me felt like Tony went into panic mode, and We hurried up and rushed to Dynamite. And not every Dynamite's going to be great. I get that. We put on 52 shows a year. I get that. But I think we could have waited a week or two before we had the whole Battle Royal and all this and that. And just, I don't know.
We could have. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but Kyle O'Reilly versus Jon Moxley doesn't necessarily scream main event to me.
No, we already knew who was going to win.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You made Moxley the number one contender when he wasn't. You gave him the number one seed when he wasn't. You really expect me to think that Kyle O'Reilly's going to beat him?
They should have at least had some type of qualifier, something. Something to put Moxley in that position to where he looks like he deserves it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Moxley's going to win the belt. I think Tanahashi's going to win it. Just because they're going to have Tanahashi versus Punk whenever Punk's healthy.
Right.
But make Moxley earn it. I mean, Tony Khan looked bad when he came out and said, oh, well, here's the reason why I switched him. Well, maybe Moxley should have been number one contender after the pay-per-view instead of Wardlow. That's just my thought.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing just did not work for me this week. But then we go backstage with the Young Bucks. They're bragging about their past couple of wins. Then, which we know this isn't going to happen now, but then the Hardys knock on their door and they're saying that they deserve a title match. Christian Cage and challenges both teams in a three-way ladder match for the tag titles. I wasn't excited in the first place, especially after Jeff's health and what he went through with his body. They're going to actually putting him back in a ladder match.
I was excited for the ladder match. I thought maybe just to see the Hardys and the Young Bucks and Luchasaurus, because I was hoping that we'd get the Christian heel turn, which I still think we will. But before knowing what had happened with Jeff, I was all right with this match. I thought maybe he had cleared his cobwebs, he was okay, blah, blah, blah. But I think this was all just to set up Christian's heel turn. So I'm kind of interested. Are we going to see the Young Bucks get a title until Jeff's healthy again?
And, you know, maybe they're two-time tag champs, which I wouldn't... That's better than any other scenario I could think of right now.
They still haven't announced it or anything, like a makeup or anything like that, but, like, Jurassic Express is, like, what, the fifth best tag team in AEW? It's time to bounce back on the Bucks, and let's wait until Jeff's healthy, and then maybe we'll get a cool ladder match down the road. But again, like you said, the only thing that got me excited about this segment was Christian turning heel. So I'm interested in what's going to happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what they walk away doing with the situation.
Yes.
But after that, we've already kind of went through this, the AEW's World Championship match, Shafir versus Thunder Rosa. It was a terrible match. It's slow, it's sloppy, it's boring. Shafir does not look good there. And Rosa won the match on a roll-up again. I do not understand the reasoning behind that finish. That was the most lackluster finish they could think of.
Hey, sorry, getting breaking news again.
Sure.
Toni Storm versus Britt Baker tomorrow night on Dynamite.
There you go.
Wow, let's fucking go.
That's a match I stand behind, definitely.
Yeah, well, I think maybe this is the whole reason Tony grabbed the belt. I think they're going to go to a Tony Storm Thunder Rosa match, which I'm cool with.
But, that's kind of what they're showing, because Fear attacked Rosa from behind after the match, put that weird armbar finish on Rosa. I don't know what it is.
Oh, more breaking news. I am sorry, my friend.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow night, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Young Bucks in an AEW World Tag Team Champion ladder match.
Oh, there you go.
So I think we'll see the Christian heel turn.
We may have that on the horizon right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
St. Louis is my hometown. I've told you this before. So I am so glad that they're getting an amazing pay-per-view. I'm sorry I'm getting all this just now, but Toni Storm, I love Toni Storm. She's my favorite. We've talked about this.
Yes.
I've actually DM'd with her before. I'll just pat myself on the back about that. But anyway, I hope it's time that they kind of – Britt Baker is already there. It's time for her to kind of let some others shine, I think. So I think we'll see Toni Storm go over, and then we'll see Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa.
Which is a better match than who they have been putting Thunder Rosa with lately. And
wow, I'm excited about this card.
Thunder Rosa deserves a good, strong opponent like Toni. Toni Storm, bring it.
I think Toni Storm wins the belt. I know it's more me hoping, but dude, look at this card though for tomorrow night. Toni and Britt, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Young Bucks, Dax, Will Ospreay, Jericho, Ortiz, hair match. Wow.
It's better than what we're reviewing right now.
Oh God, I can't wait till next week, bro.
Yeah, definitely. And then we went backstage with Toni Schiavone. He's with Cargill, Kira Hogan, Red Velvet, and Stokely Hathaway. They cut a promo basically about Chris Statlander and how he was facing her on the upcoming Rampage, which we kind of already discussed. Turned out to be an excellent.
Great match.
Yeah, definitely. But then we go into our main event. O'Reilly versus Jon Moxley. It was actually a really good match between these two.
Oh, yeah. It was a great match.
Yeah, I really liked the part where O'Reilly breaking the hold with his teeth on the ropes.
Yeah.
And Mox just comes up and kicks the rope. Which it looked like it actually hurt pretty bad. I mean, that hurt my teeth looking at it.
If they would have made this the main event without the whole battle royal and all that, I would have got excited about it. It was a great match, don't get me wrong, but I already knew who was going to win.
Yeah. With it, well, Mox hits a stunner.
Yeah. And then
Kyle puts him in a triangle submission. Then Mox gets out of that, hits a pile driver. O'Reilly kicks out of that. Then Mox gets the bulldog choke on him, and then a regal knee, followed with the paradigm shift. So he basically did three finishers in a row for the win.
AEW is in a weird spot right now. And the fact is, they have this pay-per-view going with New Japan, and they're also trying to further their storylines. I kind of want to hit a reset button and kind of just start. And I hoping from this Dynamite that we're seeing that they're kind of going to go that way.
Yeah. I would really rather, because I rated this Dynamite 2.75 chair shots. It's definitely not worth three chair shots to me this week.
I would have gave it two.
The only thing that saved it for me was Buddy Matthews and Pack.
Yeah, which I would have gave that like a five, but then I would have given everything else like a one. So then it kind of would have just made it a two.
Yeah, definitely. That's where I kind of sit with it too. So, yeah.
This was one of the worst Dynamites I've seen in a long time. And I think it just kind of happens from kind of a panic from Toni. With Punk being gone and, you know, Adam Cole being hurt and Danielson being hurt and this and that. I think we could have waited a little bit and just let it breathe a minute and then made all the matches for New Japan. But I'm not a booker, but I would have gave it a two.
Yeah, and I wonder, how is New Japan promoting Forbidden Door?
AEW signed a deal with them a while back where their show is being, New Japan has like their own streaming service in Japan, and you could watch AEW Rampage and Dynamite on there. So they're heavily promoted. They're all behind AEW. So like, I don't think there's any problem with Tony and the New Japan higher ups. They're hoping that this show does really well. If this show does really well, then we're going to see an AEW New Japan Forbidden Door 2 in New Japan at the Tokyo Dome, which will be amazing.
That would be incredible.
But I think Tony just kind of rushed his end of it. Like, if you want to make Moxley the number one contender, I'm cool with that. I get it. But you've built Wardlow up this strong. Make it a funky finish where Moxley beat Wardlow, kind of like how you did with when Punk beat Wardlow, and Wardlow stays strong, and then Moxley moves on. I'm cool with that. But then when you make this, you have these rankings, and then you want to switch the rankings because Punk's hurt, and then you want to have this stupid battle royal, and then you want to do this and that, and then you want to have Wardlow say, well, I want to wait till Punk's healthy, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go for the team. It just kind of, you kind of threw a lot at somebody's plate, and it kind of...
That was a lame, just a lame reason that they went with.
Well, you want to be different, and you want to be the alternative. That's fine, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Wardlow was the number one contender, Wardlow needs to be a part of either the Battle Royal or the match to get to fight for the world title or the interim title. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, something. It could have been done.
And don't get me wrong, I'm fine with Wardlow going for the TNT title first. That's fine. But make a story out of it and build toward it, just not to where Punk's hurt. That's why I want to fight for the title. I'll wait a while. I'll just go ahead and get this title first. I think it could have been done so much better.
Yeah, he put it like in a way that, well, Punk's our champion, and I'm not going to fight until I face Punk.
Yeah, and I think me giving it like a 2 and you giving it a 2.75, I think it's just because we have high standards for AEW.
Yeah, and I do have high standards for him. Like you said, it's like you're not going to have a terrific night every week. I mean, that's a pretty impossible goal to reach.
Well, yeah, and it's okay to have a lackluster show. I get that, but and I hope that Tony like sees this and is like, okay, this wasn't great. I'm gonna load up the next one. We're gonna have a great pay-per-view, and we're gonna go from there. We're gonna have a great TV show. And
but even if you look at it on paper, it's not a great show. I mean,
what, this Dynamite?
Somebody were to hand me the show and say, this is what's going to be on tonight, I would have still been like, what are you doing? This is so not exciting.
Again, I think Tony's trying to push the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Have one like WWE does, kind of have a tradition, which I get. But you need to have a better way of introducing everybody into the match. And a battle royal per se is usually pretty of a boring of a match. You need to find a way to spice it up a little bit, and I think you need to let it breathe every time you announce somebody coming into the match.
And with the way that they do it with the four suits, is it supposed to be like they at random draw a suit,
right,
that they're going to be in, and then they're in that group? Whereas in this one, we had two tag teams, not just one tag team, but two tag teams, both that were in this suit. That just kind of struck me as odd and kind of not likely to happen.
And I get the whole every man for himself, but are you making Swerve a bad guy now? Or why are you breaking up him and Keith Lee? What are you doing? Like, I hope we get more answers.
Big shit-eating grin on his face after he eliminated Keith Lee. It was very heelish of him to do.
And I love Swerve. I have a bunch of Swerve merchandise. I've been a fan of his for a while. But is that the platform to put him on? Because you made him look strong, but then he lost to Kyle O'Reilly. Like, if anything, give me a Swerve and Moxley match. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It wasn't a good platform to do any of this with.
But tomorrow night's going to be amazing, so thank God.
Yeah, it sounds like a great card already. Like, I already got me hooked in with just one or two of the matches, and then just better, so. I think this week's will have a higher rating anyways.
Well, and here's the thing. They were number one. They were the number one original cable show this week, which is great. They didn't have NBA competition. I don't know if they will Wednesday. So it looks like they'll be number one again for the second straight week. And I don't even want to hear people talk about ratings because ratings are so stupid. Like, people who watch TV is so different than they made this announcement the other day, like on Nielsen, like half of people that were watching cable are watching it today. So to be the number one ranked TV show in cable on Wednesday night is a pretty big deal. And between both of us, we thought it was a pretty shitty show, to be honest.
Yeah. So
imagine when they put on a good show. Here's another thing. I wear my AEW merchandise everywhere I go, and people are like, oh, I've heard about them, but I haven't watched them yet. Well, why?
It happens to me. Yeah, it's like people tell me, oh, I've heard of them.
Right.
But, I still haven't given them a chance. And it's like, well, you got it. You have to give them a chance. You have to watch them and see exactly how good this company is. People who are all too familiar with WWE and say they've never seen AEW before, if they watched this show, it wouldn't be the one that I'd want them to watch.
Right. But I think this week is going to be a banger because they're just going to give St. Louis a great show. This will be the show this week that'll get people being like, oh, okay, this is what they do. Let's go.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, I look forward to it. And it's coming up tomorrow night, so we don't got to wait too long.
I can't wait, bro.
Yeah, I can't either. Keep that news coming like you have.
I'll have some more here soon.
Tell our listeners, though, this man, he gets news like you get it. You got to be one of the first people to be hearing the things that go on because I don't hear about it. So I'm like, oh yeah. Well, thanks to Jason, I already knew that. But
I heard news where like Matt Cardona was going to be the one who faces Ric Flair at his last match, but then like the next night, Matt Cardona tore his bicep and he has to have surgery. So I didn't report that, but like, I'm telling you right now, to anybody who listens to our show, AEW is in good hands, and they are on the precipice of some great things. I think we're going to see ROH soon on a streaming, and I really hope once they get ROH situated, that they take the titles away from AEW and just put them on ROH.
Yeah, I don't. There's no point in them not in W once they have their own show going. There's no point to it.
Well, and I think ROH, I mean, I think AEW, they're about to get streaming. I think the last thing I heard that I could say almost concrete was July is when we'll hear something. So I think in July is going to be a big month for AEW. Time Warner loves that they have Punk. They love that they, when they were at that LA show, the crowd was so hot.
Yeah.
You have AEW and you have Time Warner and Discovery people in the back, and you see that crowd. What AEW has that WWE doesn't have is they're kind of the cool, hip wrestling company. You know what I'm saying? Like, WWE is the established, but then you have this up-and-coming movement. You got Punk. You got Cole. You got Danielson. You got these people. You're number one on Wednesday nights. You weren't number one whenever the NBA playoffs was, but who was going to be? But you're right behind them. And their key demo, they're right there with WWE. It's crazy how close they are with WWE.
Yeah,
and the key demo. And at 18 to 49 were people that buy the merchandising. They're like right there. So, and it came out. I don't know if you heard this news. This is some news that was came out the other day. MLW is suing WWE. I don't know if you heard about this.
I ran by something, but this has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Well, here's the thing. I guess MLW was going to get a streaming service on Tubi, which is a Fox-owned, pay-for-themselves streaming service.
Yeah, and I
when
love
WWE Tubi. When WWE found out about this, Stephanie, and this is kind of part of the reason why Stephanie's not here. I got more news on this, but I don't really report it because we do AEW. But Stephanie McMahon kind of made a phone call saying, hey, we don't want them on there. Jeremy McDivitt came out the other day, and he's the lead attorney for Vince McMahon, if you know about the steroid trial and all this and that.
Right.
They announced in court that when WWE went head-to-head against AEW, it was a Friday night. I forget how long back, but WWE was on FS1, and they decided to go 2.5 hours, commercial-free, against Rampage on a Friday night. CM Punk wrestled Matt Sydal, and The Bunny and Ruby Soho fought. AEW beat WWE in the head-to-head demo, and it's a court document proven to by WWE that AEW actually beat WWE.
Nice.
Now, your AEW, you take that information that is in court by your competitor saying you beat them, it's only going to help you when you go for your television deal. And AEW isn't going anywhere. This isn't TNA. This is AEW. Yeah. This is Tony Khan. AEW is not going anywhere anytime soon, and thank God for Tony Khan.
Yeah, and thank God it's not TNA. That's
oh God, they were good, but then they kind of went crazy.
Hey, I liked for a little while there, 2006, 2007. They were on to something.
But hey, I wanted to ask you, did you I know we're running a little long here, but did you watch the Cody Seth match yet?
No, I did not.
Oh my God, bro. You are missing out so bad.
Do you have a link to it?
I'll send it. I'll look. If not, I'll just send you my Peacock info and you can just fucking watch the WWE Network whenever you want.
All right. Well, actually, you wouldn't have to do that. I have a way into Peacock right now, so I'll just have
do it as soon as you can. Go to Peacock, go to the Hell in a Cell, it's the main event. Don't watch the other bullshit because it was stupid. Oh, hey, before we go, Jericho and MVP, did you hear about this?
Hang on one second.
Are you there?
Yeah. Cut
did
out.
You hear about did you hear about Jericho and MVP?
No.
Okay, so Jericho and MVP about a year and a half ago got into a Twitter beef. Now, I love Chris Jericho as an entertainer. I don't agree with his political views. Jericho's right. wife yeah. is one of the people who stormed the Capitol on, January 6th?
Yeah. So,
and I don't agree with that whatsoever, but whatever him and his wife's views are, whatever. So him and MVP got into a beef about that. So the last time that AEW was in Houston, MVP went to go to the bar where the wrestlers usually go to kind of like meet some old friends, this and that. Well, him and Jericho got into it. Again, MVP was wanting to kind of finish things. And he challenged Jericho to a fight outside. Jericho denied, got into the elevator, looked at MVP as he was closing the elevator door, looked at him and said, "I don't fight jobbers," and the door closed. And that is 100% fact. I got that on great authority. So I don't, MVP is like a fifth belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I don't think you would want to fight MVP.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jericho's a different cat when it comes to political views. I'm not a Trump guy. Apparently his wife is. She tried to storm the Capitol, but whatever. But, yeah, so that was an interesting note.
That is interesting. I think you were telling me about that, though. So I want to say, I knew they had some kind of beef with.
Yeah, I guess it was all political and it was just back and forth on Twitter. But then when they met face to face, MVP wanted to fight and kind of Matt Hardy was kind of the one that kind of separated them. Which I'm a little worried about why Matt Hardy's at a bar. But anyway, separated them. Jericho got in the elevator, looked at MVP, said, "I don't fight jobbers," and then went to his hotel room. I don't know. Fucking God bless Chris Jericho. I love him to death. He's going to lose his hair this week, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
And it's not like he has a problem doing that.
No, he's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. Well, shoot, we didn't have Rampage this week, but we sure covered the hell out of Dynamite, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, and once I get a new cell phone, which should be tomorrow, I will start promoting the page a little bit better. I know I've kind of slacked on that, but my cell phone it actually took the shit today. I can't even open it in the cell phone now. So thank God for my girlfriend for letting me use her cell phone. And I kind of use a tablet right now where I keep getting news and stuff like that. But Unscripted Violence, people, buy the t-shirts, help us out, listen to us. I'm JBlund23 on Twitter. I'm Jason Wayne Blunk Sr. on Facebook. Hit us up. Let's talk wrestling. Let's grow the movement. This guy does a great job. He's such a great host. He's become a great friend of mine. He does a great job. Let's get this page going to where we can get it to going.
We've only improved since you've come aboard. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me blush.
Yeah, that's true. I'll put you over just the same.
I love doing this with you, bro. And just follow us. Help us out. Let's get this movement going. Unscripted Violence, baby.
Yes, share it. If you don't have time to listen, share it with your friends, family, anybody you think that would be up for Unscripted Violence. We got listeners that don't even watch wrestling and have told me, "Well, I don't need to watch wrestling. I've got you guys to listen to." So,
oh, that's what's up. For real, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes me feel good. I don't even care if it's one person, two people, 10 people. But
yeah, I don't need
growing this thing.
Yeah, I just want to see more and more people enjoy it and get involved. And
dude, like, that made my day. I can't believe you said that. That really made my day. That is amazing.
Yeah, that's one of our listeners, Jen. She said that to me, and I was like pretty amazed at that statement. It's always kept me going. Wow. And like, well, yeah, at least we can reach people that don't even watch wrestling. And to know that means a lot. Doing something right as far as the podcast is concerned. And we're only going to continue to grow and expand and everything. And we got big plans for the future. And
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When's the next GCW? Because I swear to God, I will going to watch one of these GCW matches so I can record a podcast with you about GCW. I did see, I hope maybe we can record this one together. Will Ospreay is
going to fight
Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne and Will Ospreay. It's coming up.
Mm-hmm.